go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up a bird, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Gain new knowledge, get a fresh new start. They never will bring you there. So let's talk about it when life and on the air.
Hi, everybody. This is Fran Lewis, your host. This is MJ Network, and we are so live. And we're going to have some real fun today because we have author Randy Green and the author of Criminal Misdeeds, and if you really want to know the definition of that, you got to read this book because it's hilarious and it's fantastic. As far back as the Shatners can be traced, they have been breaking the law and cool and running from it. It's a family tradition. Now, Carrie Shatner is a detective and crime scene technician with the Wyatt County Sheriff's Department in Houston, Texas, and you wouldn't believe the wackiness that her family puts her through and what happens when she tries to solve a murder. And that's all I'm going to tell you because the author is here. She's going to tell you the rest. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. So, when creating the major characters within this novel, how come two warring families and how did they decide to not like each other and how did the feud begin?
Well, Carrie has a crazy family, and as that developed over time as I was writing the book, I love the Hatfields and McCoys, so I decided to give the Shatners the Palmers to have a feud with. And their feud goes back to right after the Civil War when the two families intermarried, and the children from the couple that got married started pruning the branches from each other's family trees. And they've been killing each other for a while, and now they just play pranks on each other, and it just goes from there.
Pranks are fun sometimes if nobody gets hurt, though. It's no fun when anybody winds up dead, though. Yeah, it's no fun then. But so when we meet Detective Carrie Shatner and her Uncle Murph, he's a trip and a half. He's so corrupt. So, and how does he cover things up so that the Shatner family comes out sort of smelling like roses? I mean, you know, you want somebody in your family like that, seriously.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Murph's the sheriff of Wyatt County, so he uses his job to hide the crimes the family's committing, whether it's making and selling moonshine or growing marijuana or just beating people up.
That is fun. I mean, if you can get away with it and be the sheriff. Like I said, I think everybody needs somebody like Uncle Murph. I wouldn't mind somebody right now like Uncle Murph, seriously. So, who are the Palmers and who runs that family and what are their misdeeds? And the cool part is that no one gets arrested for what they do. I mean, don't put this on the news, people, because you never know. But, yeah, they get away with everything, which is really cool. So how come nobody arrests them? What are they afraid of?
Well, the Palmers are the other feuding family, and they live in the same county as the Shatners and commit crimes as well, but their crimes don't really overlap. The Shatners are making moonshine and growing marijuana, and the Palmers are making illegal fireworks and methamphetamine. So they just kind of coexist alongside each other, but the Palmers have someone else that takes care of making sure they don't get caught and go to jail, and that just keeps them out there breaking the law alongside the Shatners.
That is so cool, though. Really, seriously, if you can get away with it, what the heck, as long as nobody's dead, whatever, but then you never know.
Exactly.
I just laugh and go, like, my God, in real life, you never know. Power does help. So Carrie has an extended family, and no matter what they do, she's loyal to them, even when it goes against her better judgment. How come? I mean, there comes a point where she's got to say, I don't know, but she doesn't, or maybe she does.
Yeah. Well, she grew up surrounded by her extended family, and she's always been aware of their crimes, and she just, it's the environment she grew up in, and she knows that they're doing wrong things, but she's trying to not so much help them get away with it, but stop them and save the innocent from getting caught alongside the guilty ones. And it's one of those, she might not like all of her family members, but she does love them. So it's just, even though it goes against her better nature to cover up crimes, she just wants to save everybody.
Well, that's called loyalty to the nth degree, let me tell you. That is definitely loyalty to the nth degree. I don't know, you know, how many people would do that in real life, but then again, you don't know, because families need to stick together, seriously.
Yeah.
So, there's a New Year's Eve party, and of course there are pranks on both sides, which makes it even more fun, more dangerous. So she finds something at the end that sets a series of events in motion throughout the novel. But why does her uncle tell her not to call the Department of Public Service? And how would he handle finding a dead person?
Carrie shutting down after her family. Yes, Carrie's shutting down the party, and that she's making sure all of her family members have left the fairgrounds. She finds the one dumpster ajar and looks inside, and she finds a dead body. And after she confirms it isn't one of her family members, she lets her Uncle Murph know what's going on. And with Uncle Murph wanting to cover up everything the family does, he just wants to hide the body. He doesn't even want to really investigate. He's just like, let's cover up and move on. Carrie, on the other hand, wants to call the Department of Public Safety, who covers, you know, crime all throughout the state of Texas, and let them handle it because she knows she's a suspect. There's a dead body at the fairgrounds where she's been for hours. She's a suspect. Murph's a suspect. The whole family of suspects. She doesn't want to dirty her hands with covering anything up. She just wants to let it go with, let someone else investigate, and whatever happens, happens.
Unfortunately, in some senses, she does the right thing. And in some senses, well, she sort of pits her family, whatever, in a different direction. So she handles it, and why is she considered a great detective, at least by some standards, and some, you know, don't consider her a great detective? I think she's pretty good.
Yeah, well, she has a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice. She's worked in Nashville for their crime scene investigation section for about 5 years, and now she's been at the Sheriff's Department back home for 3.5 years. So she does have a lot of experience with, you know, criminal investigation, going through evidence, crime scenes. She just doesn't have as much experience being a detective. So she's still learning on that part, but she does her job well, and everyone at the department knows that. It's just that she's also related to a bunch of criminals, so she's questioned on that part because is she covering up for them? Is she letting it go? Or is she, you know, is she going to go after her family if she realizes they did something terrible? And she's got her line. She knows if one of her family members did kill this person she finds, she will go after that family member.
That would be kind of hard for her, I guess.
Yeah.
To face the fact that someone in her family actually decided to kill somebody. But we're not going to tell you, you know, who did it or why, because, you know, we can't do that. No, that's not right. So how did you come up with the dumpster as well as the where they find the body? That was interesting because most people find it outside, you know, outside the dumpster. How come you came up with that particular thing?
I had it in the dumpster because I wanted the body hidden. So because whoever put the body there didn't want it found right away. And had Carrie not noticed the dumpster was ajar, she might not have found it right away.
She was lucky that she found it. Otherwise, I don't know. I wonder what would have happened if Uncle Murph found it. Then she wouldn't have even known it was there, probably.
Yeah, Uncle Murph would have just taken it out in the woods and gotten rid of the body.
Which sounds just like what's on the news lately. You never know.
Yeah.
So we have the guy from Public Safety. We have Jared Hardy. And when he shows up, who else shows up with him? I mean, that I felt like I was in a Laurel and Hardy movie at that point. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, Jared, he is a sergeant with the Texas Rangers. So he is sent down to take over the case. And another Texas Ranger comes down to help him with just getting everything taken care of at the crime scene. But two of the local police chiefs also show up. The one, Chief Groves, he just shows up because he wants to help. If there's anything he can do to help, he wants to help. And then there's Chief Isaac Yates of the Holler Police, and he hates the Shatners, and he is there because he wants to catch the Shatners breaking the law. So even though he's outside of his jurisdiction, he wants to make sure he is on site and can do whatever he can to catch the Shatners.
Well, some people really don't understand the right people and the right, you know, group to group for. What can I say? It's so sad.
Yeah.
You never know. So, Chief Yates, he sounds like an idiot, though. I mean, he just hears himself talk. How did you create him? He's so like some people that you read about on the news, but he's like, oh, my God. He's just got this personality of this is what I want to do. He doesn't even think about it. How come?
Well, he's a corrupt person. I mean, he does take care of his jurisdiction, but he's out for revenge against the Shatners. He has years of just things they've done to him, like Carrie's father had an affair with Chief Yates' wife, and he's just out to get them. He knows what they're doing, but he's not going about catching them in the right way because he's so blinded by his hatred for them.
And sometimes that causes you to make more mistakes you just don't know. So,
yes.
Who's the dead body? And when we find out who he belongs to, poor Carrie.
Yeah. The dead body is Kyle Vance. He is an in-law of the Palmer family, and he briefly dated/stalked Carrie a few years before that. And because he's a Palmer, he's been part of the feud and the pranks that have been going on. And, of course, when his body shows up at the fairgrounds, it's going to cause more of a problem between the two families, especially because the Palmers had made a surprise visit to the Shatners' New Year's Eve party. So that leads to the question of, was Kyle killed by a Palmer during this altercation? Because that really makes Shatners look even more guilty than they do.
Yeah, I know. At that point, I said, well, who's really guilty and who's really not? But I knew who it wouldn't be. So blame goes all around. And how does Hardy separate everyone? And how does she get dragged into the into the investigation? And what does she really think about Jared? Well, at least he keeps her in there for a while anyway.
Yes, Jared, he gathers up all the Shatners and the Palmers and gets them interviewed by other detectives and police officers and deputies right away before word gets out that Kyle is dead, because he wants to hear what everybody has to say before they know what's going on. And she figures if anybody knows that Kyle's dead, they had to have either been involved or heard about it from someone else who was involved. And Jared keeps Carrie around to help him out because, A, she knows her family and can help smooth things out while the Shatners are being interviewed. But he also knows if one of the Shatners is guilty, she might lead him to that guilty person. So it's like, let's keep her right beside me so if something's going on, I can catch her in the process. And then on the other hand, he knows she could be an asset in all this. She's from the area. He's not. And just working with her in that way, she can help him with things that he can't figure out right away.
Well, it's good to keep your enemies close, they say, right?
Yeah.
And your friends, who knows? So dealing with him is not easy. He's what kind of a ranger? And why do we know right away at first that he's capable of handling this? He probably could do it, like you said, by himself, but he doesn't know the area. So he's got ethics, doesn't he? That's the one thing I did like about him. He's got strong moral ethics, so he's not going to break the law, whereas does he realize that she will break the law and that she doesn't care?
Yeah. Well, he knows she cares. So that's why he's working with her instead of Uncle Murph. But it's a matter of how much does she care, how much of the line will she budge to help out family. But like the reason Jared is good at what he does is he's been involved with law enforcement for about 15 years now. And if you're a Texas Ranger, that means you're good at what you do. So he's made it there. He has years of experience in law enforcement. He has an outstanding record with solving crimes. He's very straightforward, and he plays by the rules. So then that way he's different from Carrie. He sees things in black and white, and there's no gray areas. Carrie operates in the gray areas.
Which a lot of people do, if you read the news.
Yes.
Seriously. All the way from everywhere to everywhere. So
exactly.
You have to ask this question. Are you going to bring Chief Yates back again, seriously, so I can laugh some more?
Oh, of course.
Oh, he's such an idiot, but you got to have him back because there's always one chief that's in space. So Chief Yates does what he wants to do. And why is he told that he's not part of the investigation, at which point I wanted to stand up and applaud and say, finally, somebody gave him what he wanted, but he doesn't listen anyway. So how come he got X'd out, which probably was a good thing, I guess.
Yes. Well, the body is found, it's not within Chief Yates' jurisdiction. It didn't happen in the town of Holler. So that's why he's initially kicked out. Because it's like, this isn't your jurisdiction. You have no real business being here. But the other reason Jared kicks him out is because he knows that Chief Yates hates the Shatners. Chief Yates has made this very clear to Jared. He hates the Shatners. He wants to put them in jail. He's trying to catch them. So Jared knows if he lets Chief Yates help in any way, it's going to become a vendetta for him. He's just going to focus on them, and he's not going to look at the evidence or any other possibilities for suspects.
That's very true. In other words, arrest all the Shatners and just put them away and just leave the world out of their misery is his thing.
Exactly.
So how does Chief Grove get involved in this? And who else gets involved? What other chiefs do they even bother with? Because basically between Jared and Carrie, they don't need anybody else. And definitely not Uncle Murph, but he provides the lever. He's funny.
Well, Chief Groves, he's like Chief Yates, he's also outside of his jurisdiction. He's the chief of the Wilder Police, which is another town in Wyatt County. He only shows up because he heard about a dead body being found at the fairgrounds, and he just wants to show up and help. If there's something he can do to help, he wants to do it. Otherwise, he's fine with being left out of the investigation. And at first, Jared does bring Chief Groves in to help out with just interviewing the Palmers and taking care of some initial stuff, but then Chief Groves kind of fades out of the investigation since he's not really part of it anyway. But some of the other people involved are, there's another Texas Ranger named Sergeant Boleyn. He gets involved at first just to help out Jared with everything, but then he also fades out because this isn't really his county that he covers. There's also state troopers, crime scene unit, there's deputies with the sheriff's department involved. And as the crime scene's taken care of, they all kind of fade out, and it leaves it to really Jared and Carrie working the case.
That must be hard for her to have to question her own family if she got stuck doing that. And I remember I read the scenes, I go like, you know, then they weren't too thrilled with her being questioned. And how does that react? How did that come to play with her? Because I said, oh, my God, her family's ready to kill her.
Yes, her family's upset that they all get dragged into the sheriff's department first thing in the morning to get questioned about a dead body, because her family's like, well, we know we didn't do anything. Why didn't you cover this up and get rid of the body? Because that's what we expect you to do with your job with the sheriff's department. We don't care about you solving other crimes. All we care about is you covering our butts. So they're angry with her that she got them dragged into being investigated. But what they don't understand is that the dead body, your suspects, you're going to get investigated regardless of what I do.
And if you don't, then he's going to report it and it's going to be worse because he's a little bit higher than her.
Exactly.
But they don't bring in the FBI or anybody else. They just handle this on, I guess, the Texas Rangers is as high as it goes over there. But,
yes.
So what happens when they find incriminating evidence in a dumpster with the body? What do they think that her cousin Gail is guilty? How would you describe him? And they bring him in for questioning. That was not the best thing in the world for him either, or for the family. They weren't too happy about that either.
Yes,
especially who he's related to.
Yeah, he's one of the cousins. He's also Uncle Murph's oldest son. And he's not the smartest person in the family, but they in the dumpster along with the body, they find some evidence that implicates Dale. So that's why he's questioned a little more thoroughly than the rest of the family, because there's something that implicates, hey, Dale might have been the one to do this. But Dale doesn't really take the questioning seriously because he wasn't at the party the majority of the time, and he knows he didn't kill anybody, so why should he care that he's being questioned? It's just a bit of an attitude he gets with him, like, I didn't do it, you can leave me alone now. But he doesn't understand, no, you're going to get questioned because you're a suspect and there's evidence implicating you in the murder.
They don't really care. I mean, they just think that they're above the law, and then they don't care. So she comes out not looking so wonderful with her family, but she has to do what's right as a law person. So that makes it kind of putting her between the rock and the hard place.
Exactly.
So, the scary part is that Kyle Vance was her ex-boyfriend, so that makes it look even worse. And when they identify him, no one cares that he's dead. How come? No one really cares on either side that he's dead. They say, yeah, he's gone, so what? That's scary.
The Shatners obviously don't care that it's Kyle because he's part of the Palmer family, and in their opinion, oh, it's one less Palmer we have to deal with. And just because he's not a Palmer by blood, he's married to him, so that makes him guilty by association. As for the Palmers, they don't like him because they think they don't like him as a person. They think he's a bad guy, even by their standards. But they just tolerate him because one of their family members is married to him. And, you know, every family has that one in-law nobody can stand that they just have to put up with because somebody in the family married this person. And that's part of it. Like, oh, okay, Whitney married him. We have to put up with him. And, well, he's pretty good at breaking the law, so they can use him in that way. But otherwise, he's dead. He's no longer a problem for us.
But why doesn't his, what did his wife stay with him? Where is her mind? Where was she plugged in, on a short circuit? Or did she just figure it's better than nothing? And he was cheating on her, on top of which.
Yeah.
That was not very nice. Yeah, she didn't seem to, and she knew. It was like, okay, why?
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, Whitney knows she wasn't married to the greatest guy in the world, but she got her man, and she was trying to keep him, hoping he would change, and just not accepting the fact that he's going to keep going on cheating and doing whatever else he does behind her back, and that it's, you know, she just stayed with him. It was one of those abused women with that mentality of, I'm going to stay because I don't know what else to do.
Now, this relationship was hilarious. Tell us about Dale and Amanda. I mean, he's really in Fogland. Seriously.
Yes, Dale.
I mean, she broke up with you, and you're going to sit there and figure out a way to go, oh, my God. I was like, where are you, you know, dating 109? I don't think so. Why was he so enamored with her, and why did he worry that, try to get her back? I mean, seriously.
Amanda is Dale's girlfriend of a few months. She is a stripper at the Dancing Cowgirl, which is a strip club that the Palmer family owns. So obviously when it comes out that Dale's dating one of the strippers at the Palmer's club, that causes some problems within the family. They're really not happy that he's frequenting a establishment owned by the Palmers. But Dale's thinking with his little head instead of the big one. He's just enamored with this woman, and he's just in it for the sexual relationship aspect. He's not in love with her, but when she breaks up with him, he gets upset, like, you know, most people do when somebody breaks up with him. He just takes it a little bit more to the extreme, and he's trying to get back with her, and he doesn't, you know, he knows she left him for another guy, but he's like, oh, no, take me back. Leave him for me again. But that doesn't work out in his favor.
No, he needed my mother to explain that when the road is traveled, don't go back over it because it's already been traveled. And she taught me that a long time ago. If something doesn't work out, move ahead. Don't worry about it. It's not worth your thinking anyway. But he's stupid. So he keeps trying anyway to get her back, which makes him look kind of even dumber because it makes him sound desperate. And he doesn't understand that, does he? He doesn't realize he's looking really dumb and desperate. You don't beg somebody, give me a break here. So tell us where he worked and the girls that worked there that he might know about Kyle. Where did he work, Dale? What did he do?
Dale's he's a mechanic and a tow truck driver. So he gets involved with all throughout the county with just picking up trucks and everything, anything broken down, working on cars. And when they're investigating in the dead body in the dumpster, they find a tire iron and part of Dale's work uniform, which that's what implicates him in the murder and leads it down the road of, oh, maybe Dale's guilty.
You know, guilt by whatever. You know, you look at so many police investigations and you wonder sometimes they get one person and they don't look ahead at anybody else.
Exactly.
Now, if not for Carrie and her moral ethics, probably Dale would be in prison right now. Or somebody would be in prison right now because the police, they don't care. So tell us about the investigation and how the investigation would proceed and what obstacles Carrie faces when she has to interrogate both families, and how did it go in general, at the end, were they talking to her at all at the end of these things? And Whitney revealed something. What was it that sort of gave her some other things?
Well, obviously, Carrie's family's mad that they feel she dragged them into this investigation. They think she should have just done what Uncle Murph wanted, get rid of the body, cover it up, move on. So when they're getting questioned by Jared and the rest of the state troopers, they're angry with her. They stop talking to her. Some of them stop talking to her. They kick her out of family events. They really are trying to put the blame on her. Like, if one of us goes to jail, it's not because it's the guilty person's fault. It's Carrie's fault because she didn't cover up for the guilty person. So they want her to, in that sense, cover everything up, but they also want her to keep Hardy, now that he's there, from looking too closely into the family. They're like, okay, we understand he's going to be questioning us now because you dragged him in here, but you got to make sure he doesn't look too closely at us and catch us breaking the law, because he's going to find out what we're doing and he can come after us for the moonshine, the marijuana, or any of the other countless things that he does. So Carrie doesn't have a lot of friends within her family throughout the investigation. Pretty much the only person on her side are her grandparents, and that's because her grandfather, he's the former sheriff. He spent years covering up after the family, and he doesn't want Carrie getting involved and following in his footsteps. So he's trying to tell her, yeah, you did the right thing. Keep going forward with what you're doing, and if the family's going to be mad at you, then they're going to be mad at you. But if they're guilty, then they have to realize they have to pay the consequences for what they did.
Well, that's true. I like the granddaddy. He, set her straight a lot. I really liked him because at least this way she had one person on her side, if nobody else, and, of course, the grandmother. And we're not going to say who killed Kyle, but I imagine when they do find out, they probably would have poured the person instead of putting them in jail, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so. That's so tell us about Wynonna and Waylon and Wes. Who else is in this novel that we would want to know about before I get to the really good stuff?
Well, Carrie has a very large extended family. Her grandfather has two brothers and a sister, and they've all had children, and then there's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So certain family members from throughout the extended family get involved. So Wes and Waylon and Wynonna, they're all siblings, and Wes and Waylon, they break the law a lot. They're the ones selling the marijuana and running the moonshine around. And Winona's their younger sister, and she's like a younger Carrie. She's got her morals, and she's not going to break the law. So she's trying to help Carrie kind of stop her brothers in that sense. But she's just a 16-year-old girl, so there's not so much she can do as opposed to Carrie, who's 30-year-old woman and working for the sheriff's department. But the family, they're criminals, they're bad people, but they're funny, they're interesting people, and it's like, okay, they break the law, but they're not the worst kind of people in the world. They don't kill people, we hope, but they do break some laws.
Well, you know, a lot of people break the law, but you know what? They're not the worst, too. But you know what? People do sell, create, you know, grow marijuana and sell moonshine, and they don't get caught. That's so sad. I know. So how would you describe, you know, Carrie as a person? Because I thought she was kind of hot-headed and impetuous that gets her in trouble sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie, as she says, she has a moral compass. It might not point true north, but at least it points northwest, and that's what keeps her close to the straight and narrow. But she is very hot-headed. She kind of reacts before she thinks about it. And in that way, she does resemble her family members. They don't always stop and think what they're doing before they do it. They have that, here, hold my beer mentality, like, I'm going to go do something stupid, and I'm going to think about it later. So Carrie, she wings a lot of things. She forges ahead with the belief that even if something's going to blow up in her face, in the end it's going to work out. More of the just do it and ask forgiveness later. And she really, what it boils down to, everything she does is to protect her family. Even she knows, like, they might not be the best people, but she loves them. She's worried about them. She wants to set them straight, but she's like Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the mountain. It's going to keep rolling back down on her. But that doesn't stop her from trying to just push ahead and save her family.
Well, that is commendable to a point, but how does that alienate her at times from Jared? Because after a while, he doesn't want her there anymore. He sort of like pushes her aside, even though she deserves to be there. So how does that put a strain on their relationship to work together?
Yes, well, the reason Jared let Carrie help was because he knew she could be an asset, especially when it came to dealing with her family. He knew that the Shatners don't want to deal with law enforcement. But if Carrie's involved, they might be a little more receptive to answering questions. But as it comes out that her family's been doing some bad stuff, then she flies off the handle to try to figure out what's going on with them and cutting Jared out of what's going on. He realizes he probably can't trust her. If she's going to try to cover up something that there's evidence of, he's not happy with her. So he does remove her from the investigation after she tries to cover something up, because he's like, I can't trust you. If you're going to cover this minor thing up, how do I know you're not going to cover up this murder if one of your family members is the guilty person? So Carrie knows she does things wrong sometimes. She understands it, and she's learning from her experiences, and she does want to be a good detective, but she's just got this albatross around her neck known as her family, and that's just holding her back.
That's scary. So who would be in charge if, God forbid, she got fired? Would he have her fired? Could Jared have her fired? Or is it just her uncle that would have her fired, or can't they fire her?
Well, if they can catch her doing something wrong and breaking the law, then, yeah, Jared could play a role in getting her removed from her position, but it's really within the sheriff's department, so her uncle could fire her, but he's not going to do that because that means he's the only Shatner there to cover up the crimes. And he likes having Carrie around, but if he needs help, he can rely on her as opposed to dragging someone who isn't part of the family into whatever he's up to.
Well, I think he likes her too. We won't discuss that. They can get in trouble in the next book. So, how do you create the scenes between her and Dale and her family? And what happens when she goes to watch the football game? And how does she feel when they told her to leave? That was not right. They invited her. She came in. She's a family member. And now she's told, you're not a family member anymore. We don't want you here. How did that make her feel, seriously? And how does she handle something like that?
Yeah, Carrie's obviously not happy when she gets invited to her family's party to watch one of the college bowl games. So she shows up at the party, and she realizes that their family's a little paranoid about what's been going on with the investigation. And mainly they invited her because they wanted to get insider information as to what's going on with the investigation. And she says, I can't tell you what's going on with the investigation because it's technically none of your business. You don't work for the sheriff's department. you don't need to know. So that starts out with the family getting even further annoyed with her than they already are. And then when she spends the football game going around asking her family what they know, if there's anything they didn't share while they were being interviewed that morning, that really annoys them even more because it leads the family to believe she thinks we're guilty or we know something that we haven't told her. So her Uncle Houston, who's the patriarch of the family, basically kicks Carrie out of this family get-together and says, you know, either do what I asked and cover up anything that might come forward in this investigation that implicates the family, or just stay away. And that hurts Carrie's feelings because she's like, everything I do is for this family, but you're going to be mad at me because I didn't cover up a murder investigation. So it's one of those, like, how far will her family go to save their own butts, and how far do they want her to go to save them?
As far as she can go. I know. My mother had this plan. If someone in your family needs you to do something, put yourself back and just help them out. But I don't think she would ask me to cover up a crime. But, you know, with Ruthie, you never know. Seriously. But see, my mother was a trip and a half. But before I forget, this Thursday, New York Times author Colin Eggers takes center stage with Imposter's Law. Next week, October 30th, one of my favorite people that I actually met at the Thriller Fest, Bruce Coffin, Beyond the Truth. On the first, we have another one of my favorite people. I actually walked up to him and said, James Heyman, how come I never reviewed your book, Fatal Obsession? Oh, my God, you want to read it. On the 5th, we have Patricia Hale. And we on the 7th, we have John Land. Scar Tissue was her book, and his is Manuscript for Murder. It's a new Jessica Fletcher series. It's fantastic. On the 12th, on Veterans Day, I don't know his name. He calls himself I Am Waiting. In honor of my mother, it's a Vietnam vet. They're going to talk about a man who's over 70-something years old that never got his benefits and what we're going to do to help him. On the 14th, Tess Gerritsen is going to talk to me about her movie Island Zero. It's scary. And on the 20th, New York Times author Vincent Zandri will be here with Flower Man. And that's just some of what I'm up to until December. It should be interesting after that, too. Got a whole bunch of people. So, why is family loyalty so important to them? And why is Murph the sheriff? And everybody knows he's corrupt. Are all the chiefs corrupt? Every one of them? I mean, that would be really cool.
Wow. Well, family is very important to the Shatners. So loyalty to the family is also important. They kind of have that mob mentality that you don't betray the family. So, and like criminals stick together. Mm-hmm. So that's really what the Shatners are about. We stick together. We have each other's backs. So with Uncle Murph being with the Sheriff's Department, that's one way to keep the Shatners from getting caught, as long as they're only breaking the law within Wyatt County. But Murph, he's not totally corrupt. He is a good sheriff otherwise, and not everyone in the county is aware that Murph is abusing his job to protect his family. So that's how he keeps getting elected as the sheriff, because he's very good at hiding what he does. And not everyone in Wyatt County is corrupt. Chief Yates is similar to Uncle Murph in that he's corrupt in protecting the Palmer family, and he's blinded by his need to stop the Shatners. But otherwise, he takes care of what's going on within his jurisdiction, and that's how he keeps his job. He's otherwise good at it. So even if some of these law enforcement people are corrupt, they're still otherwise good at their jobs, and that's what keeps them employed.
What would happen if the murder victim wasn't a Shatner? Would he, you know, cover it up still for somebody else? Or would he just actually tell her to take care of it? He wouldn't. It's just if it's a Shatner. And, of course, if it was a Palmer on the other side, they would cover it up, too. That makes sense. That's really cool. You really need two people like that in your life. Seriously. So they think Dale's guilty. So why does everyone overreact? How did you create some of the fight scenes? And what happens when Carrie is called to the emergency room several times? How does she handle it? The poor girl spends a lot of time in the hospital.
Well, so Dale, he looks kind of guilty in the beginning because they find evidence implicating him, and he doesn't have an alibi for the time of which they assume Kyle was murdered. And as it comes out that his girlfriend actually dumped him to hook up with Kyle. That also adds motive to why Dale looks guilty. So that's why part of the family's overreacting the way they are. It's because some of them think maybe one of us did kill Kyle and stuffed his body in the dumpster. And it's also just in their personality to overreact. Most of them are hot-headed. They fly off the handle. They're a little crazy. So that's how they all overreact about things. As for the fight scenes, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, so that's why there's a lot of fight scenes. And I just always visualize pro wrestling when it's going on. So I was like, okay, here's a fight scene. Carrie's going to hit somebody with a steel chair because that's what they do in wrestling. I mean, it fits with the situation of what's going on and why she hit someone with a chair. But, yeah, so I picture pro wrestling a lot. And then when Carrie ends up going to the ER, it's because two of her cousins are injured and she doesn't know how badly they're injured. So obviously she's panicking, thinking these cousins of hers could be dying. But when she gets to the ER and the rest of her family is losing their minds over what's going on, she kind of calms down a little bit and keeps a cooler head to compare to everybody else who's there. She starts taking charge of the situation and figures out what's going on, as opposed to her family members who are screaming and crying and carrying on and just driving everyone in the ER up the wall.
So I can't stand people that overreact. You have to stay calm, seriously.
Yeah.
I think that's why my family calls me when there's an emergency at all hours in the day, like, can you handle this? I go, huh? Yeah, I'm concerned. My niece is in a hospital in Barcelona right now. I texted her at 6:30 this morning, and I said, it's 36 degrees. Would you send me some sun? And she sent me a picture of her broken ankle. At which point I said, are you at the hospital there? I said, I hope they're taking care of you, and I'm just waiting to hear from her. It's like, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And she says, I'll let you know if you have to call here. I go, that would be a riot. Somebody calling from America. So who is Bubba? And who is Vita? And what happens when she tries to play both sides against the middle? I hate people like that. That drives me crazy. And why is everyone in this town ready to beat up everyone else? Which sounds really cool.
Well, Bubba is another one of Carrie's cousins. They're close in age, and so they grew up together. They're very close to each other. And she actually lived with him and some others of her cousins up in Nashville. Cause Bubba's in a big country band. So she has a bond with him. And she's closer to him than some of our other cousins. And Bubba's one of the cousins who doesn't break the law. And then Veda is Carrie's lifelong best friend. They've known each other since preschool, and they have their problems, but they always have each other's backs. Bubba and Veda have been dating off and on since high school, and they have plenty of relationship problems. And Carrie's used to getting dragged into the middle of their problems and trying to help them fix things. So Bubba and Veda are currently having a bit of a tiff in their relationship, and Veda starts hitting on Jared when she meets him to annoy Carrie into talking to Bubba instead of Veda going to Bubba herself. So Carrie, at first, she wants to stay out of it. She's like, you two are adults. You can figure out your own relationship. The longer it goes, she decides, nope, I'm getting involved. Except when she gets involved, Bubba overreacts and gets mad at Jared because he didn't hit on Veda back when she hit on him. But in the end, even though she's playing both sides against each other, it ends up working in Carrie's favor just because, you know, she's like, I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to play your mind games. But sometimes she has to do it. And as for everyone in the town wanting to fight, there's about 10,000 plus people living within Wyatt County, so not everybody's ready to fight. It's mainly just the Shatners, the Palmers, and their associates, but that's just in their personality. Let's solve things with our fists instead of acting like calm, rational people and working through our problems by talking them out. No, we're going to punch them out instead.
Well, I would wonder what would happen. I'm just throwing this out. I'm sitting here, I take notes every time I do this. I wonder what would happen if a third family came into town and decided to move in and do the same thing. What Carrie would do if there was a third, besides the Palmers and the Shatners and who knows else. Would you put another family in to cause more trouble?
I think at that point, Carrie would just pack up her bags and move to the middle of nowhere in Montana and just be like, I'm done with all of you.
Is she elected or is she appointed by her uncle Murph, who expects her in the next book to be corrupt too?
Yes, her uncle Murph's the one who hired her, so he expects her to help him clean up after the family, but he also knows she's good at what she does when it comes to looking at evidence and crimes, so she's actually been an asset to the sheriff's department in that sense, where she's helped solve old cases of theirs that had gone cold. So he does defend her when the rest of the family's angry with her for bringing in the Texas Ranger. He says, you know, she is good at her job. You can't just expect her to clean up after you guys all the time. He's got another job she has to do. Just the problem is the rest of the family doesn't care about what she does when it concerns anybody that isn't a Shatner.
Well, the Palmers are the same way. So how do you keep it straight? I mean, how in two sound towns, one with the Palmers and one with the Shatners, and two lawless towns where everybody could do anything they want. But what about the rest of the people that live there? Can they do anything they want? And what happens if they get in trouble? Seriously. It's like a town with no laws for one set of people and another set of people, but the laws have to be for the other people. How does that work?
Yes, the laws apply to everybody whose last name isn't Shatner or Palmer, basically. So, but they're, if anybody else commits a crime, they're going to get investigated, just like they would anywhere else in the country. So it's just a small fraction of the population who doesn't respect the law. There's plenty of innocent people who are going about their lives, who are unaware of what's going on and unaffected by it. And obviously some of these people are customers of the Shatners and the Palmers. They buy the moonshine, the marijuana, and the other drugs that the Palmers sell, but they're not directly involved. They're just customers, and if they get in trouble, then they're on their own. The Shatners are like, oh, you might be a customer of ours, but that doesn't mean we won't deny any association with you if you get caught.
Yeah, there's no loyalty. That's so sad. It's basically money and power and who's got the most power in the community. So Carrie finds herself in a quandary when it comes to her family, and when she's called again to the hospital for two of the Palmers, something snaps inside of her, and then she realizes that Kyle did something. So how does she handle that with poor Amanda? Aw, she's not too bright,
yeah.
But I felt so bad for her. I liked Amanda.
Yeah. When there's, yes, Amanda, Dale's girlfriend, also gets killed throughout the book, and when her body is found, it's not within Carrie's jurisdiction, but it is practically in the backyard of the sheriff's department. So Carrie, being nosy, walks over to see what's going on, and Jared Hardy's over there helping out with the Chief Yates and the rest of the Holler police with their investigation. So he invites Carrie to have a look at this second dead body. So especially because he knows this is Dale's girlfriend who's now dead. So there's something's going on with Dale, especially because Amanda's body is found at Dale's place of employment. So Carrie gets involved, starts asking questions, starts putting the pieces together, and as the puzzle pieces start going together, she realizes that the Kyle and Amanda's murders are connected, and things don't look good for Dale because he had a reason to kill both of them. The question is, did he actually kill them?
Well, we can't tell anybody that. But there were like two more characters. We didn't learn about Troy and Russell, and they're completely, God help us, if they're related to anybody. Seriously.
Yeah.
So what would you say about
the,
oh, my God. You know, I'm sitting here saying to myself, if these people were in my family, oh, my God, really. But, you know, Carrie is one thing. Uncle Murph, I could use Uncle Murph. I wouldn't mind. But who Troy and who is Russell? I mean, they're two, like, out to lunch, too. It's so scary.
Yeah, they're Whitney's brothers, and then Whitney is Kyle Vance's wife. So their involvement is, hey, our brother-in-law is dead. So they, that's how Carrie ends up talking to them, and they admit, we don't like Kyle. We don't care that he's dead. We think our sister's better off without him. So Carrie's a little suspicious of their attitude of, you know, you're not really concerned about your sister. You're more happy that this guy's dead. So that leads Carrie to believe, like, maybe they know something that might not be have anything to do with Kyle getting killed, but why he might have gotten killed. So that's why Carrie goes after those two a little bit, because she's like, yeah, this is your brother-in-law. I think you know something.
You know what's scary is that I don't think that they're going to have a funeral for Kyle. I think they're going to have a mass celebration that he's dead.
Yes, they'll dance on his grave.
Actually, they may reenact the New Year's Eve party in Practical Jokes, you know, that happened. And to me, that doesn't sound like his family is even going to want to bury him. They're just going to throw him in the sea and say, well, you know, out to lunch and let the fish have him. I mean, that's it. He's still a person. So there wasn't one person. There's no one in his family that really cared about him. No one. I mean, even his wife hated him. I can't blame her. Did anybody like him?
I mean, she loved him. Yeah, she loved him, but she hated him. But even Kyle's own family didn't care for him that much. So he wasn't a nice guy. And the fact that he's no longer on this earth doesn't really affect anybody negatively. It's more of a positive. He's not around because he ended up causing a lot of problems for his in-laws. So that's part of the reason why they're glad he's gone, because he worked at the strip club that the Palmers own, but he caused more problems there than he solved with being a bouncer. He harassed the dancers. He was drunk on the job. So nobody there is sad to see him go either.
I don't think anybody on this earth is sad to see him go, except maybe if he came back in another novel, and then I don't think anybody would really care and want to have him back again, seriously, unless Kyle gets reincarnated out of nowhere, but we don't think so. But what happens when Carrie realizes that there's somebody like an orchestra leader sort of that created these events? How does she and Hardy are in deep trouble? How do they handle this when they realize what's really happening?
Now, Carrie realizes she finds the killer. She realizes how both Amanda and Kyle were murdered, and she arrests the guilty people. But she realizes that the murderers aren't the ones who put Kyle's body at the fairgrounds. So she realizes someone else is pulling the strings behind that. And it's a little too late for her when she realizes that somebody else is involved with this. So the person responsible is coming after her, and all Carrie and Jared can really do is defend themselves against this person and hope that everything works out for them in the end.
Well, we hope, because otherwise she won't be back again, and that would be sad. So what would you say, before we have about 5 minutes, are her strong points that would make people want to read more about her? Because I thought she was a strong character, and she was up against a stupid family. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Yeah, her loyalty to her family is both her strongest and her weakest point. So if her family's not involved, she's a great detective. She's good at what she does. She's her moral compass mostly points north. She's going to do her job when it comes to, you know, whatever crime she's up against. But when her family's involved, it's harder for her because she knows they're not the nicest people in the world. She knows most of them are criminals, but she loves them. She grew up with these people. She knows what they were like before they became criminals. So that's what makes it a weak point for her. But she's a strong, independent woman. She takes care of herself. She knows who she is for the most part, and she's going to go out and kick butt and take names and solve crime.
She's a lot like me. Seriously. If I want to do something and get it done, it just gets done. That's it. And whatever you have to do to get it done, that's great. That's why I liked her. She's strong-minded. So the fact that she has to deal with her family, you know, are some of the weak points. So, question. Is Uncle Murph going to stay, or is she ever going to take the top job? Or is he going to remain at the top?
Uncle Murph, he's continuing being the sheriff in the next book. But there's always a possibility he could get voted out by the people in Wyatt County, or someone else could run against him. Carrie could even decide someday she wants to run against him. But I don't think she wants that responsibility, because she knows her family's going to expect her to do even more for them. And she doesn't mind shredding the occasional parking ticket, but she doesn't want to be the person burying bodies in shallow graves because her family's out there doing who knows what. And She knows what's going on for the most part, but she doesn't want to get totally involved with it.
Well, I would hate to see what would happen if Uncle Murph killed somebody or anybody, her grandparents, because I think then she would really be in between a rock and a hard place. So tell us what's the next one about, and when is that coming out, and where can everybody find out about you and your work? Because everybody's got to read this. You know, Christmas is coming very soon, people. You do want to buy a whole bunch of books. This would be one of them. Plus everything else that I've read for the last week, which is quite a few.
Well, the second Carrie Shatner novel is called Criminal Chokehold. It'll be out probably next summer, probably July. And in it, the murder victim is a local professional wrestler. And he's also a teacher at the local high school. So Carrie gets involved trying to figure out what aspect of this man's life got him killed, whether it was wrestling or something with his personal life or working at the school. So Carrie, it's, you know, her family's a little bit involved, though they're not the main suspects this time. And so Uncle Murph's letting her just go on, solve the crime, do it, take your job and do whatever you need done. And Carrie gets, you know, Sergeant Hardy involved again, so they're back to working together.
So that should be interesting. Are you going to do another blog tour, I hope, with Cheryl? Because they're the best. And Cheryl, I'm almost done with my next book. I just have to send it to the editor. I'm so excited. I finally sat down yesterday and said, get busy here. I'm hoping. It's based on real-life experiences, two of them. It's about someone that survived a Polish sterilization camp and her voice.
Told
from behind the gravestone. I write them from behind the dead person behind the gravestone. So one is one, and one is a young girl that was sold into slavery by her parents and sold to her aunt as a slave to work in America and never wanted to leave Russia. So that should be interesting. And I'm going to make up three more stories. If someone does something wrong, they wind up dead behind the gravestone, hoping to repent forever. So where can everybody find out about you and your work and your website so that I can put that out too?
Okay, my website, it's randygreen.com. So I have information about Carrie Shatner and the series on there, as well as book reviews and author interviews on my blog that everyone can check out. And then I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So it's usually just Randy Green Author you can look me up by. Pretty easy to find.
Well, I'm going to be posting got sidetracked this morning with everything. I'm going to be posting your review later with, you know, on Amazon with 27 stars, people. And I haven't posted a review with 5 stars in a while, seriously. You know, there was a book that I did read and I thought it was okay, and I explained to the publicist that I was only going to give it 3 stars, which bothered me, but you know what, I didn't post it on Amazon because I didn't want to be the one to give her first review and 3 stars, although the publicist thought my review was great. But this will go on Amazon later with 5 stars, everybody, and if I say it's 5 stars, just trust me on this one. And I will post your review later, and I will send it to Cheryl so that you could read it, and I'm sure you're going to love it. Seriously, I never write anything negative, ever. I only write good stuff. And I want to thank you so much, very, very much. This has been fun. The sun is shining, everyone. It's freezing outside, but you don't know what to do on a cold winter day, read Criminal Misdeeds. Read some really great books. And I'll be back on Thursday with Colin Eggers and Imposter Lore. Randy, thank you so very much. This has been fun. I really appreciate that you did this. And everybody, have a nice day, and bye.